Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to the Roto World Basketball Show. As always, it's the trio of Vaughn Delzell, Dan Titus, and Raphael Johnson. We have plenty of injuries to discuss with guys like Steph Curry, Tyrese Maxey, and Kawhi Leonard, plus news to break down across the NBA. But first, we're getting down to crunch time. Dan, what are you working on at Yahoo, and how are your fantasy teams doing as we inch closer to the postseason for some people?
Yeah, I'll have an article dropping tomorrow from Deep, just 3 points of emphasis for fantasy basketball or other that I've just been kind of tracking. Usually it's a numbers focused article, but yeah, check that out. But my teams are actually doing pretty good this year, man. Like in all my redraft leagues, I think I made 6 playoffs out of seven leagues. My 30 deep, unlike Raf, is freaking terrible. So I stopped paying attention to that one a while ago. But otherwise, man, it's been a pretty successful fantasy season right now.
Yeah, say 6 out of 7 teams. That's not bad work at all. Raphael, can you say the same thing about your teams? And what are you working on?
Absolutely not. I had a terrible fantasy. Like the 30 deep league was the only redeeming aspect of my fantasy season. In one of our salary leagues, I ended up getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic and not making the playoffs. So the whole stars and scrubs approach, no disrespect using the word scrubs, I don't think I'll ever do that again in terms of a salary league or auction, if you prefer. But I won't be doing that again. In terms of what I'm working on, more of the same, but kind of preparing for end of season stuff. Obviously, fantasy playoffs coming up. Kind of go team by team, looking at their fantasy breakdowns from the season and the outlook towards next year. And we'll talk a little bit about our slow draft that we're in, kind of previewing next season. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But yeah, pretty wild times in the NBA with all the injuries right now too.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over today. A nice preview for the end of the show, because I can't wait to hear about some of the guys that you guys are targeting and where you expect people to go for fantasy next season. But this season, we still have work to do. It's time for the nitty-gritty, gentlemen. So let's talk injuries and start with Alperen Şengün, Dan. He's been diagnosed with a grade 3 ankle sprain, out for several weeks. Cam Whitmore is also out for at least 3. Who are you eyeing up among the raucous youngsters right now?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to give a look to Jock Landale if you need some rebounds and stuff, but I'm more interested in Amen Thompson. I know he had a dud of a game on Tuesday night, but I'm trusting the process here. And if you look at his numbers, anytime he sees anywhere between 20 and 29 minutes, you know, he's giving you 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 dimes. We know about the stocks, man. This guy can rack them up very quickly and easily. So I'm going to use that as just an outlier game and look forward to the weeks ahead, because the Rockets, good schedule, good opportunity for this young rookie to really showcase what he can do on both ends of the court. So if someone dropped him in a haste over a bad game, I would pick him up, because I think if you're looking beyond week 20, you know, Amen Thompson is definitely someone you're going to want to have on your roster.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Raphael, do you? Is there anyone else you're looking at, maybe a Landale or a Jabari Smith Jr.?
I think those are the two right there in terms of guys you can actively pick up. You know, Jock Landale played 26 minutes off the bench. There's going to be a need for him just because of the lack of centers on that roster with Şengün out. And I'm also kind of tracking Jabari Smith Jr.'s minutes, not just the minutes, but the production. He started at center against the Spurs on Tuesday. He's been kind of touch and go for me in terms of the value, but obviously he's someone who's going to play plenty. 15-9 with two steals and an assist last night. That's decent. I think he can do more, especially in his new role for him. So I think you're just kind of watching him to see what he does, because you aren't going to be able to pick him up at this point in the season.
All right. Well, let's stick with the youngsters here, Dan, because I need your take on this one. I think this could be a fun little back and forth for you two. Of course, the Knicks beat the Sixers. But Tyrese Maxey then came back 28 minutes, 17 minutes for the boy, Maxey. How does this change the fantasy outlooks for guys like Kyle Lowry or Campaign?
Yeah, I think you could roster Kyle Lowry, but at this point, it's really just, you know, steals and assists for him. I think this is really a team that I don't really want to get invested in terms of fantasy until Joel Embiid comes back, which Ramona Shelburne came out with another non-report on his status. So to me, it sounds like he's not going to be back, you know, by the time it's going to actually help fantasy managers. So I think, you know, if you have him stash an IL spot, you might be looking to move on from him and cut bait if you have other pressing needs. But Tyrese Maxey is really the only person that I would roster right now, along with Kelly Oubre. I think he'll continue to thrive. Tobias Harris has been so hit and miss, and he is just I don't want to go on my Sixers rant, man, but he is just such a disappointment money that he's making, and I can't wait for him to come off the books next year. But yeah, in terms of fantasy, Kelly Oubre and Tyrese Maxey. Paul Reed is still solid too, even though he's been coming off the bench behind Mo Bamba. Still deserves to be rostered for what he's doing on a per minute basis. But guard wise, I wouldn't touch anyone besides Maxey.
Yeah, I could certainly feel you on that sentiment. You sound like me last night when I was on air for VSiN and they broke the news about the Steelers trading Deontay Johnson. Literally grabbed my terrible towel and started swinging it. I was like, let's go, baby. Because you need good news, Dan, and you guys aren't getting much of it right now. But Tyrese Maxey coming back, certainly a positive for the team. Rafael, what's your opinions on Philadelphia's guard position right now? And are you going to be talking about Buddy Hield at all and how to feel about him?
I for one, am ecstatic about what the 76ers showed last night. But
looking like barbecue chicken right now, man. This is bad, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Paul Reed's been better coming off the bench than he was as a starter. You get more minutes going against other backup centers. That can be helpful for him. So I think that's going to be good. Yeah, with Tobias Harris, you're kind of stuck. You can't drop him. And obviously, trade deadlines have come and gone in fantasy leagues, so you can't trade him either. I don't know. You just kind of hope that he figures something out. But last night was really bad. Obviously, OG Anunoby is a really good defender, but given what the 76ers have left in terms of healthy players, he just has to go out there and fire. Like, there's no excuse for him only taking six shots in a game like that.
Yeah.
If you go 1 for 14, that would stink, but at least you've taken 14 shots. 1 for 6, that's inexcusable for a player of his caliber. So maybe they'll figure things out, but I kind of wonder if they're going to wind up in one of those playing spots before they actually do. Embiid's not going to help you in fantasy at this point, because even if he were cleared for some non-contact work, you're still looking at a ramp-up process. So like Dan said, if you have pressing needs going into fantasy playoffs, you're probably going to want to drop him.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the Sixers are going to be helping many people win their fantasy leagues right now. But you spoke on OG Anunoby, Rafael. So let's stick there, because Precious Achiuwa has been a common topic all season for us in waiver wires and when to add and drop him, play him. So what are we doing with him now with OG back?
I personally am holding on to him. I think too many people have been hasty to try to say that you should drop Precious Achiuwa. Fact of the matter is, he's still going to play good minutes. Now it's just that a lot of them are going to be as a backup five. We've seen Isaiah Hartenstein with his Achilles issue. They don't want him playing too much right now. Play 20 minutes to Achiuwa's 24. I thought Precious looked pretty good in his minutes. If anything, it doesn't really impact fantasy basketball. Like, Jericho Sims was rostered in what, like 5% of Yahoo leagues? He falls out of the rotation now with Anunoby back. So yeah, if you have Precious, I'm holding on to him. You know, if you're in a shallow league and you're streaming him, maybe you consider dropping. But other than that, I think standards, I think you hold on to him right now.
Dan, how about you? Are you going to be holding on to Precious?
Be honest, I feel like I have more faith in Precious than I do Hartenstein at this point, because, I mean, if you look at Isaiah Hartenstein's numbers, man, like, he just has this minutes restriction, as Raf stated, with this Achilles injury. They don't want to press him, especially with Julius Randle still not being back. So, like, I think that Precious will still play, like, 25 minutes, and he's been more productive. Like, he's doing more. He's scoring more. He's getting more rebounds. He can get stocks. So, like, yeah, if anyone dropped Precious, I would definitely scoop him up. And if you're like me, like in 12-team leagues, I had to make a tough decision to drop Isaiah Hartenstein just because I'm not getting the production that I was getting, you know, months ago when he was playing like 30, 35 minutes a night. Hartenstein in 19 minutes just isn't it. So, yeah, I'd be okay with moving on if you had that decision to make.
All right. Well, I want to talk about two guys who you spoke on getting 25-plus minutes and being productive. Two guys that are definitely getting that right now, Naz Reid and Norman Powell. And what they both have in common, gentlemen, they're both in the race for Sixth Man of the Year, trying to take down Malik Monk. And now that Kawhi Leonard, he's got back spasms. Rudy Gobert injured his ribs. Rafael, I'll start with you. Who do you like down the stretch in fantasy between Naz Reid and Norman Powell? And do you also like a guy or the same guy for Sixth Man of the Year award?
I think I like Naz a little bit more just because he's just going to get shots up and he's going to give you rebounds. I think Norman Powell is more of a points threes guy. He can get you some steals, but in terms of production, I think I like Naz Reid a bit more because you're also dealing with Karl Anthony Towns being sidelined too. So I think I like him a bit more. In terms of sixth man, I think it's still Malik Monk for me. Given the added responsibilities he's had to take on because neither of their backup point guards, be it Keon Ellis or Davion Mitchell, really kind of separated himself. So Malik's been able to take on more playmaking responsibilities in his role. So I think it's going to be him for Sixth Man of the Year, personally.
Yeah, he's definitely still the heavy favorite. You know, he's top five for backups with points and assists. Malik Monk has been awesome. And Dan, we said Naz Reid lately. I mean, he's been having, you know, the 20-point first half, some double-doubles here and there. Norman Powell playing pretty well, too. So same question for you. Is there a guy you like down the stretch in fantasy? And anyone that could overcome Malik Monk for sixth man?
Yeah, I think I'm in complete agreement with Raf. I give the edge to Naz here, mainly because he does more than Norman Powell. Like, Powell's a 20. He'll give you 20 points and then have kind of an empty stat line after that. So I do think we could see Norman Powell emerge if this Kawhi Leonard injury becomes more than what we know now. Right now it's just back spasms. We don't know if he's going to travel on the upcoming road trip. So just something to monitor also because Paul George has been dealing with, you know, knee tendonitis, I believe it was. So we could see Norman Powell actually play a substantial role for the Clippers down the stretch. But at this stage in the game, for what we know about Karl Anthony Townsend being gone for likely the rest of the regular season, Naz Reid's opportunity is massive comparatively. So sixth man of the year, nah, it's Malik Monk's. And the way that he continues to play, dude, like he's just so dynamic. Like I don't see Naz. Naz could come a little, like I think if you had a position where you bought Naz early, you could probably get a cash out opportunity, but I don't think he's going to overtake Malik by the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be hard too. I mean, he's doing his best over the last two or three games right now. Oh, the Timberwolves are half game back of the number one seed held by the Thunder and the Nuggets who are tied. Actually, the Thunder lost to the Pacers last night. What the heck's going on there? But the Clippers still sitting in the fourth spot. Yeah, I mean, the Kings are in the seventh spot. They're in the play-in. You know, you still got the Mavericks, Lakers, and Warriors. That's one heck of a play-in, if you ask me. So it looks like those 10 teams will probably make the playoffs. We're just looking at where everyone will be seated. But if you haven't heard, though, guys, before or while the NBA playoffs will be going on, spring training will be over and baseball will be back. So for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, go ahead and grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with the comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success this year. Visit nbcsports.com/draft guide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm working on some NBC Sports articles about Ellie De La Cruz, Ronald Acuna, Aaron Judge, and some more preseason futures. And the future of the NBA has returned from injury. Victor Wembanyama played in both games. I was trying to do my NBA 2K impression there. He played in both his back-to-back games, Raphael, against the with no restrictions against the Rockets and Warriors. 20 points, 12 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. That's what he averaged in the two games. What were your thoughts on Wemby?
I think, if anything, you just encouraged that he played both games of the back-to-back, played good minutes in both. That would be the big thing. You know what you're going to get stats-wise. There can be some explosive nights, but for the most part, he's got a really high floor, and his ceiling, we haven't even seen it yet. I think that's what the terrifying thing is, not just in fantasy, but regular basketball too. I think the interesting thing, we're all kind of waiting for it. How are they going to build that roster around him, you know, in the future? That's what these upcoming games are for, I think. I think Devin Vassell is pretty safe, Kelvin Johnson in terms of their contract statuses, but everyone else and what the Spurs are going to do during the offseason, I think they're all on the clock because he's got the talent to fast track a rebuild by himself. And I think that's the exciting thing about it. But yeah, I don't really think we saw anything that was that surprising from Victor Wembanyama, but shout out to Trayce Jackson-Davis. I put him on a poster the other night, but you try to block shots. You try to block shots, that's going to happen. So,
yeah, undoubtedly going to happen. Yeah, I love Wemby. I love watching him. I think that I agree with you, Raphael, that he could fast-track an organization. Not many players could really take a team to the playoffs in a, you know, 2 or 3 year span and take them deep. But if you put a couple guys around Wemby, it seems like that could happen in San Antonio, Dan. So what are you thinking about Wemby in the situation now for the last month of the season?
Yeah, I think I'm just more encouraged that he's going to be worth a first overall pick next year. I mean, it seems like every game he does something a little bit different that just makes you think, like, what how did he do that? He just has an insane pack. Like, I think last game on Tuesday, he, like, took the ball in the post and just, like, I think someone said he grabbed it like a Nerf. I think it was Rex Chapman said he grabbed it like a Nerf ball and just, like, kind of dunked it in there with his left hand. It's like, the dude is spectacular. And, like, the fact that he's not afraid to challenge someone at the rim makes me even more encouraged that, like, this dude is a winner. He's competitive. He's only going to get better. So, yeah, I think the fact that he's playing back-to-backs now just shows you, like, the San Antonio Spurs want to see what this kid can do with a larger workload. And I think now it's just going to press the fast-forward button on, you know, getting players in there that can help them win now. So I think it's encouraging. So if, like, all of the trickle-down effect of Wemby has been very interesting because, like, Trey Jones stinks when Wemby doesn't play. But when he's in there, like, Trey Jones is a completely different person. I think Devin Vassell also gets a nice boost when Wemby's back because some of that attention's now going away from him and into Wemby. So I think if you're rostering Spurs players, anytime Wemby's in the lineup, it's usually a good thing. So, yeah, I'm just encouraged by what I've seen as of late. And this, I mean, runaway rookie of the year, it's not even close at this point. Kind of pissed that I put my eggs in the Chet basket early on, but it just speaks to how great Victor Wembanyama has been because Chet's been outstanding too. But it's just a different level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I was going to make a joke about that before we moved on because we haven't spoke about Chet Holmgren in that race in a long time because it hasn't been close.
Yeah.
It hasn't been close at all.
And Chet's been great, man. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, and the Thunder are one seed in the West right now. So that just speaks to what Wemby's been able to do, not only offensively, but defensively too, with the steals and the blocks, just defense overall altering shots. But you expect probably he might get shut down in the last week or two of the season. We'll see what happens. But when you have, you know, no offense, Dan, Philadelphia, Memphis, Oklahoma City, Denver, and Detroit to finish the season, you know, Wemby against Memphis or Detroit. Detroit's the final home game. That'd be a fun way to go out for Wemby's rookie season. Mess around and get a triple-double.
Triple double that thing, man. Just go for it, you know?
He could do it, man. He a 2K player, created and everything. Rafi, I'm gonna start with you though for this question because I'm excited to talk about this topic. You didn't like what I said last time we talked about this, man, but this new starter in Oklahoma City, the team that I think is gonna be a one seed and win a division, which I don't feel great about now because Gordon Hayward is a starter for the Thunder. He did have 9 points, 5 assists, 4 boards and a steal in 30 minutes as a starter. How do you feel about him? Is he worth picking up now? Or are you looking elsewhere?
I'm not too excited about it. You know, he only took 4 shots. I think that's the big concern. Like, you're not expecting him to be a high volume shooter by any stretch, especially when you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander running the show. But
yeah.
I don't really know if it's too exciting in terms of fantasy value with J-Dub out, you know. If anything, you're kind of looking at Cason Wallace because he was the guy who would fill in as a starter in the past, you know, before the trade. Now it's Hayward. Cason had a decent night off the bench, so I think if anything, you're kind of just adding him to watch list the remainder of this week to see if there's the potential to bring anything to the table. But with a sprained ankle, like, how much time do we really think Jalen's going to miss? So I kind of wonder if there's going to be enough time for either of those guys to build up the requisite value to be rostered right now.
That's a very good point. And Cason Wallace looked good in his last 2 games. He had 33 points on 13 of 21 shooting. Kentucky guard, Dan. We know Kentucky guards do pretty well in the NBA, but are you looking at either guys to pick up, or are you just going to be passive for now?
Yeah, I'll probably be passing for now. It's just not enough volume and opportunity for me to get excited about. I think there's way more attractive waiver options out there than Gordon Hayward at this stage or Cason Wallace.
How about Keon Ellis? Is he more entertaining? Because he got a start for Milwaukee Bucks in a loss. Or for the Kings, excuse me. And a win over the Bucks. Yeah, Rafael, stay in your lane over there. Stay on that side of camera. But Keon Ellis didn't do much, though. He did about what Gordon Hayward did then. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, but he had 3 steals. We love our stocks. Is he someone that you'd be willing to pick up over those two, or are you passing as well?
Nah, you can pass on that. I mean, unless you're playing like a deep 14 team, and if you're looking, you know, if your playoffs start in week 21 to 23, maybe, you know, the Kings play like the most games, 12 games. Not many quality starts in there. So like, I don't think he's going to be relevant enough that you're really going to be actively trying to roster him. Yeah, I'd probably stay away.
Yeah. You agree with that, Rafael?
Yeah, it's not worth it. You know, you get 3 steals. That's cool. But I don't feel like taking up a roster spot for Keon Ellis is the wisest decision in terms of fantasy right now.
How about, you know, in Washington, we've been talking about Money Marv a lot lately, but they're on the small ball. That's their style now in Washington. Are you looking at Corey Kispert or anybody else for the Wizards?
I was on him for a few weeks now. I've been on him for a few weeks now. I think he's someone worth adding, whether he starts or comes off the bench. I just find it funny that they were the first team officially eliminated from playoff contention. Instead of the Pistons, you know, the team that lost 28 in a row at one point. But that kind of shows you how bad things have been in D.C. this year. They really don't have any other options. You know, I don't know what their G League situation looks like, but no Bagley, no Holmes. Trey Jemison hit them up for 24 points last night. Like, that's incredible. Shout out to him, but that can't happen, you know. But, yeah, Kispert. You know, Bilal Koulibaly, obviously starting. So I think other than those two, there really isn't too much to be excited about in D.C. at this point.
Yeah, the bottom of the NBA is bad this year. There's still 5 teams in the league that have failed to score or failed to record 20 wins already. We're over 60 games into the season. So that's obviously insane. Feeling the same way, Dan. Corey Kispert, obviously the obvious choice. Bilal Koulibaly also.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that Rashawn Holmes can make it back at some point with this toe injury. But at this point, yeah, you got to roster Corey Kispert if you're looking for someone that can give you threes, consistent threes, and scoring as well. He has shown an ability to kind of stuff the stat sheet a little bit too over the last couple of games, but I think he's more of a Norman Powell than anything. So, like, if you need some scoring, I think Corey Kispert can definitely help there. Bilal Coulibaly to me is still like a guy on the watch list. Like, I don't know that he's going to consistently perform for you, but now that we're in silly season, I think you can take a gamble if you have a bye week. If you have some ability to stash a player, like, I think he's kind of intriguing as the season wears on. Maybe we see less of Kyle Kuzma. I mean, Jordan Poole, I don't know. I don't know if you can bench a guy that's making that much money, but it wouldn't surprise me just considering where they're at in their franchise. So, yeah, I think you can prepare yourself for a Corey Kispert, Bilal Coulibaly type of situation where they'll get majority of the usage down the stretch.
Yeah, hey, don't ever underestimate a franchise and wasting money, Dan. They do it all the time. We've seen it already in the NFL. Well, their legal tampering period. Yeah, so I could see a couple of those guys getting set as well. You know, they've already going to finish with the worst record, so more than likely worse than Detroit. But, Rafael, we've talked a lot about guys that are maybe worth picking up, but let's talk about maybe a drop candidate. Tyler Hero in Miami. Is it time?
It might be. You know, it's unfortunate because he provides really good value and healthy, but there's still no timeline on when he'll be back. You're dealing with a foot injury. I think the clear priority for them is to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs. So, yeah, this situation kind of like Joel Embiid, where if you have a need that you need to fill via the waiver wire, he may be someone that you have to strongly consider moving on from.
Yeah, I think it might be time, Dan. And it sounds like Rafael thinks so too. I mean, I'm pulling for Orlando Magic in that division, and this helps me out. But Tyler Hero, big deal. What do you think?
Man, it's the first time we've disagreed today, Raf. I'm holding out hope here, man. I feel like Hero's in a situation where it's like we're going to wait till he's 100%. I think we could see him by week 22. That's my optimism here. I think he's kind of in that same boat as Chris Middleton of like, I don't know, you probably have more optimism around Chris Middleton because he's at least practicing. But like, I feel like Doc Rivers is blowing smoke right now. This dude's had an ankle sprain for a long time, and it's taken him a pretty significant amount of time to get back and get right. So I think they might be leaning on like it's a worse situation than they want to admit to. Either way, I think both of them are candidates to be dropped if you're, you know, in the thick of a playoff race. But if you have the ability to stash, I think I would actually take a risk on either of them returning by week 22 if it can help you in fantasy. So if like you have a bye week now or in week 21, you have a couple of weeks to kind of plan out, you know, picking up some fringe, you know, all-star caliber players for super cheap.
Well, let's see if Tyler Hero makes that 10 to 14 day window then, Dan. Certainly going to be close, but we've seen it before.
It's going to be Tyler close, Hero. Man. I don't know what this foot medial tendonitis really means, but I don't know. This dude's missed like what the last how many games? 8? Longer than that.
I don't know. That sounds like a Kentucky guard problem. Doesn't sound like like a problem for us.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This week, though, guys, there's going to be some other good action going on besides basketball and baseball, if you haven't heard. The Players' Championship is going to be underway. The best of the PGA Tour take on at TPC Sawgrass for the 50th time in the Players' Championship. Don't miss some of the best golfers in the world Thursday through Sunday on NBC, the Golf Channel, and all-around streaming on Peacock. Comcast Business is a proud partner of the Players' Championship in addition to Optum and Morgan Stanley. And one golfer you will not see at the PGA Tour is Stephen Curry. The Golden State Warriors started winning, so he's back to on-court activities. So Rafael, what's your fantasy mindset for Golden State with Steph Curry stepping back into the fold soon?
I think it's an interesting situation because you also wonder what happens with Brandon Podziemski. He started that first game that Curry missed, but then they changed it up. He's coming off the bench where you have Chris Paul and Klay Thompson starting, Trayce Jackson-Davis starting, just kind of give them kind of a vertical threat with Chris Paul in a two-man game. Podziemski, is he back on the radar if Curry comes back? I think that's going to be the big question in terms of fantasy value. If Curry is back by the weekend, it seems like he will be. He's got to practice on Friday before they figure that out. But that would be the thing I'm watching. He's someone that I would – Podziemski, meaning I would have held on to, even with the move back to the bench, just because that rotation is switched up so many times throughout the season. Could be back in that 30-plus minute role at some point. So I think you'd be the one that I'm watching in terms of Curry's impact once he returns.
Yeah, this Warriors definitely feel safe to be in at least a playing spot. So I don't think they have to absolutely rush Steph Curry back, but you definitely want him playing quality or better basketball once the postseason rolls around, Dan. So what's your opinion on the Warriors? Are you looking at adding or dropping anybody with Curry's return seeming imminent?
Yeah, I think I agree with Raph. I think this is really just watching Podziemski and where his minutes lie. I don't think you're going to drop Chris Paul for the way that he's been playing, just for what he's been doing for assists and steals and his efficiency since coming back from injury. The one player of the Warriors that I am attracted to, though, is Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, I think right now with Kevon Looney clearly out of the rotation, he hasn't played in the last three games, earning the start last game. Someone that's definitely emerging for a young Warriors team that is going to need him as the season kind of wears on here. Even though they're kind of locked into that play-in area, I think his growth and maturity at this stage in the game is going to be very critical for when they're playing down the stretch. So these minutes matter, and I think that this is a guy that's playing two ways. We talked about the dunk on Wembanyama. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg, what this kid can do. And I think he's – I mean, the lob threat, he's taking smart shots by the rim. High IQ player, doesn't do too much. He's a guy that I've actually been scooping up a little bit more in fantasy. I think he'll hold some rest of season value.
And gives the Warriors good size, too. It's something they've really lacked the past few years. So size and athleticism might add on to that. But I'll stick with you, Dan, for the next guy because Sadiq Bey suffered an ACL injury on Sunday. What's the outlook for a guy like DeAndre Hunter now because his situation could change potentially?
This sucks, man. Like I'm just hoping that Jalen Johnson can get back. He's doubtful for Wednesday. I expect him to probably be back by week 21, week 22, potentially, just because, you know, just where the Hawks are in their playoff seeding too. They're pretty much slotted for that 10 spot right now. I don't think that they're going to lose it unless the Nets go on some ridiculous run, but that it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, yeah, tough loss for them. I think it's really just DeAndre Hunter. Hopefully we'll see him ramp up his minutes restriction. V. Krejci has been starting in his place, but he hasn't really done much with his minutes. So I think it's more so DeAndre Hunter is the add here. And he's probably not available in deep leagues, but shallow leagues, he might be floating out there. I think he was around 60% rostered last I checked. So, yeah, if he's out there, I think he's worth it for points, threes, pretty much just that. And he's actually been more efficient this year, so I should give him that credit too.
Well, what do you think, Rafael? Are you disliking or liking anything in Atlanta regarding these young forwards?
Yeah, I don't really think there are any other options. He's actually at 51%, so he may even be floating. Yeah, he may be even floating out there in some standard leagues. Obviously, like Dan mentioned, the minutes restriction, I think that's the one concern there. You know, they don't really, I don't think they have too much motivation to rush anybody back and rush anyone into playing more minutes, just because not only they kind of locked into the 10, that 9-10 matchup, they're about like 4 or 5 games out in the loss column from number 8. So with the amount of time left, they're kind of stuck in it 9 versus 10 game. So I don't know. It's, if you, you can't talk yourself into adding Garrison Matthews or Wesley Matthews. And if you do, your team's in more trouble than any of us can help you with. So
can't help you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there was something you were saying about Atlanta, you know, really going nowhere fast. They're kind of stuck in the position they're in, and Memphis is kind of the same way, except they're not in a playoff spot. They're just they just got to finish out their season now, Rafael, right? They're playing for nothing, maybe some draft position. But there are reports coming out now that Desmond Bain could play again this season. Probably not the wisest decision for his long-term health or the smartest move, but doing a little look ahead to next year, where are you targeting Desmond Bain? Where are you, would you rank him?
I think I'd still have him in that third round range. Maybe end of second. I have more faith in him and his role than, say, Mikal Bridges in terms of, you know, you think about where Mikal was drafted entering this season. I feel better about Bane in that part of a draft than Bridges, just because he's playing off of a credible offensive star in Ja Morant. You've got Jaren Jackson Jr. there. Marcus Smart can be helpful as well. I like his situation a bit more in terms of being able to put up numbers in an efficient manner. So I think Bane, I think end of round 2, early round 3 is probably the high point for me in terms of where I would draft him next year.
And how do you feel about Bane moving forward, Dan? And you don't think they should rush him back this season, correct?
Selfishly, I have him stashed in the league. So I'm like, cool. This is a pleasant surprise I wasn't expecting, right? Like, I feel like he would mail it in like all the rest of the starters. So the fact that he wants to come back, I think that that's great. It was a bad ankle sprain. So like, I'm not like thinking like, oh, this is going to be something that could jeopardize his future here. So yeah, I'm all for it. But in terms of his fantasy value for next season, I feel like an early third, mid third is appropriate. I could see him going high second round, but I would probably do like early third, mid third, and feel very comfortable about that. Like, that's good value for a guy that we've seen, you know, be a top 20, like a second round value for much of the season. And he's the best fantasy player on the Grizzlies. So, yeah, I think that's warranted.
Yeah, he's given them great all-around value constantly. A great points, rebounds, assists option his first few years in Memphis. So I've absolutely loved him. And, you know, absolutely, I encourage everyone to follow both of these guys, Dan and Rafael, on X, and follow them on Yahoo and NBC to get all the fantasy help, because there will be a lot of rankings heading into next season. I'll definitely be enjoying reading them because we all love our rankings lists. And another reminder, just to find all your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music, you just head over to amazon.com/NBC Sports. But it is the time of the show, gentlemen, where we take a look at the rest of the week 20 schedule. Can't believe we're at 20 weeks in the NBA. But who should we, Dan, be targeting for pickups, drops, all that based on schedule to help us lead our way to a fantasy championship? What do you got?
I think the end of this week is actually really good for streaming. I would be looking at the Charlotte Hornets particularly. Vasilij Micic is a guy that I think that is going to have a really nice opportunity towards the end of the season here. Mello Ball's not coming back, let's just all admit it. And then you figure Trey Mann's also questionable, been dealing with some injuries. So I think Micic actually has a really nice strength of schedule. If Nick Richards is out there, I picked him up in a 12-team points league. I'd pick him up. They play two games in three games. Yeah. So they got three games left, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, three games remaining. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, I think that they're a good team to target. I think that the Trailblazers are also interesting in 12 team leagues. I think you can take a look at Matisse Thybulle. They also play three games. Bit murky on like Delano Banton. Like, now that Scoot Henderson's back and Jeremy Grant's probably gonna be back, he's on the injury report is questionable, but like, that pretty much tanked his value now that he's not starting. So Tumani Kumara is still interesting to me as the season wears on, with Jabari Walker now on the shelf with an injury. Other teams I like. Pelicans are also pretty interesting. So if Herb Jones, I think he's 67% rostered, so shallow leagues, he might be floating out there. I would take a look at him. Simone Fontecchio is another guy that I think is going to have a really good opportunity with Asar Thompson now being ruled out on Wednesday. He's a guy that I think is really going to play a lot of minutes, and he's been very productive in fantasy. So I think he's another guy you need to look at as well as Isaiah Stewart.
A lot of those teams you named, Charlotte, Orlando, Detroit, Portland, all those teams playing three games the rest of the week. So very good streaming options there. And as we know, those teams play a little bit quicker pace than the rest of the NBA too. So that helps with the points, rebounds, assists. Rafael, what do you like for week 20 the rest of the way?
I think Dan's hit on a lot of them. I would probably throw Duncan Robinson's name into the mix too. 47% roster, three more games the rest of this week. So, you know, Miami doesn't have the pace advantage that some of those other teams do in terms of how fast they play. But no Tyler Hero. I think he's in a position where he can give you pretty good value for the remainder of this week.
Yeah, I like that too. Duncan Robinson certainly been strong over the last few games. One team to avoid, as you guys have in the notes here, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they play one game the rest of the week. So probably a team you wouldn't mind avoiding, I'd like to say. Dan, anything else you want to add there before we talk about your guys' look ahead to your way too early draft?
Yeah, I think that to Raf's point of Duncan Robinson, I think you could also take a look at Caleb Martin. He's played 30 minutes the last three games, and he's always productive in terms of like three-point shooting, low-end points, but he can also give you some stocks and some rebounds. So I would take a look at him as well. And what was my other thought? Norman Powell, yeah, definitely add him. They play Chicago and Atlanta in two of their three games remaining for the rest of the week, which is a really nice matchup. And that's probably it. I don't know that I'm going to be picking up anyone from Orlando. Two games against Toronto and Brooklyn, like, they're good matchups, but I don't know that you want to trust like Mo Wagner or I'm definitely not trusting in Markelle Fultz. Maybe you go Jalen Suggs if he's out there, but he's been a little bit injured lately. So, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it.
Yeah, a lot of the Orlando Magic games lately, too, have been very, very low scoring, I've noticed. I've been checking in with them every single night. So, probably not the best team to be going with right now if you're looking for as many points as you need in your league. Rafael, I'll start with you when we talk about the way too early mock draft next year because, you know, as someone who doesn't do them very often, I'd assume you're probably going with some strategy, right? Some guys you're targeting, or is there just another point entirely to this draft for you?
There was no strategy to this. I think at this point you're kind of trying to figure out who, where guys are going, and where would you potentially pick people. I was drawn to take the first overall pick, and we've discussed
lucky you.
This in the past.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like.
Yeah, oh, wow. We've discussed this in the past in terms of Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I went with Wemby. I'm really excited about the potential upside there. The offensive game is one thing, but the defensive production, like if you have someone that you can count on for good blocks and steals production week to week, I think that's invaluable in fantasy, especially if you can do that with your first overall pick. So for me, we have 5 hours between picks just because it's a slow draft, but I didn't need 5 hours. I needed about 2 minutes to find Wemby on the board and put him in there. So I think he's going to be a very viable candidate to go first overall in drafts, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they build around him in San Antonio.
So where's the draft at right now? What pick or round is it on? Are we still in the first round?
We're in the seventh round.
Seventh round. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Before we get to Dan's team, and we can either make fun of it or say how great it is, Rafael, what surprises among the first few rounds did you see? Were there any guys that you were like way too high or way too low?
Not really in terms of the first round. I think Embiid going fifth, it's somewhat of a surprise. Like the production is definitely there, but now we're back to the medical concerns thing. You know, it wasn't an issue last year, wasn't an issue to start this season. But, you know, for him to go fifth, I think that's fair for sure. But it's kind of interesting that I don't really think he's in that conversation to be a potential top three pick anymore, just because of Wemby's emergence and also the injury concerns. So I think there, Shingun was with a late second round pick. I think that's another good one. We've spoken about him in the past. Dodged a bullet with the diagnosis of that injury. So that's another player I've definitely got my eye on in early mock drafts to see where he goes.
Yeah, we just spoke on Shingun last episode too, and I'm talking about where he would go next year. So I'd like to hear that news for him. Dan, what pick did you have, and who did you go with to start your draft?
So I had the 9th pick. I feel like any industry league I get into, I always get a shitty pick. I ended up with Steph at 9. To be honest, like the way I was looking at my team, I'm like, I feel like I'm getting everybody that's like on the other end of their career arc, which I'm not really excited about. But I also think that there's value in that to a certain degree. So, you know, Steph Curry, getting him number 9, I thought was solid. Getting Dame Lillard on the turn, I thought was fine. Van Vliet on the 3rd pick. So I was definitely employing a strategy of trying to win threes, points, steals, assists, and free throw percentage. So that's 5 categories there. And then the rest of the draft, I was just going to focus on building out the rebounds, further invest in the steals, the blocks, and et cetera. I feel like my team is fine. I think getting Mikal Bridges in the 4th round, I think, is probably fair value based off where he's finished in the last several years. And last year, obviously, people were overpaying for him after the big, you know, explosion after getting traded to the Nets. But I think now it's like 4th round feels right to me, 4th, 5th round. One of the surprises of the draft for me was Zach Hanshew, NBC, does a great job, nominated for Basketball Writer of the Year. This dude is known to take some big swings, and goddamn did he take a swing. Paolo Banchero, 2nd round. I was like, whoa, Zach. Like, I like Paolo. Like, he's a good player, but, like, he's not a 2nd-round fantasy player. And maybe he just, I don't know, maybe 3rd year, he goes into this stratosphere of finding his efficiency, and he hits threes more often, and he gets stocks. But I don't see that substantial of a leap in him. I thought that was a little early. I also like Jalen Johnson going in the 3rd round. I think that that's someone we're going to see potentially climb significantly into next year, just for how he was. I mean, he's a top 40 guy. Unfortunately, he got the injury, but I think he's someone that could really expand his fantasy game next year. He's going to be a really solid player. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I would just say LaMelo Ball falling to the 3rd round, I think, is probably where we're going to see LaMelo. We talked about it last week. He's definitely not a 1st-round guy anymore. So 2nd, 3rd round, I think, is going to become the expectation just based off of his injury profile.
Didn't realize that Jalen Johnson would be going that high in the next season, but I mean, he did have a great points and rebounds. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. Rafa, were there any takeaways from some of those guys, Jalen Johnson, Paolo Banchero, anybody else you wanted to hit on?
I think for Banchero, it really depends on the type of league you're in. If I'm not mistaken, this is a 9-cat setup that we're drafting for, so I definitely wouldn't take him that high, but I think 8-cat and points leagues, you can kind of talk yourself into it a bit more for him. You know, so hey, at this point in the year, these mocks really don't count for anything. So you might as well take some swings, just kind of see how that kind of plays with the draft board as a whole. You know, see how others may approach drafts when you do those things. Kyle Kuzma going in the 5th round, that's one that grabbed my attention. Like, what are we doing here? I think he's a fringe top 100 player, to be honest with you. And that's an 8-cat. Like a 9-cat, just outside of that threshold this season, I think that's kind of where he's going to hover for the remainder of his basketball prime. So I think that would be the one pick that kind of caught my eye. Like, you either really believe in Kuzma and the Wizards, or you're just kind of – you ran out of time and just felt like you had to pick someone, because I don't think I'm taking him in the 5th round in any draft next year.
No, I don't think many people would be. And if they were, they wouldn't be playing much longer than March 13th. Their season would be the only outside looking in. But good luck to both of you in that draft. I know you guys won't be, you know, playing or winning for money or anything, but I'm excited to hear the results of that and see who else we could be talking about next week and where these guys are falling. So I appreciate both of your hard work, gentlemen. Hope all the viewers do too. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that does watch the Roto World Basketball Show. Good luck the rest of the week in fantasy. We'll see you later, and hopefully you get some dubs under your belt. So enjoy.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.